Okay, good. I'm just going to close the door. Okay.
Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. We just started the recording. I don't know if anybody, I mean, it told us that we were, that you guys were supposed to confirm that it was okay to record.
And it did.
Okay, good. All right, so basically what happened was this started last week with Scott. It turns out that it's cheaper for us to, it's the same company that did Free Conference, but instead of $6.50 every time we record it, it's $14.50 for the month, and we have the phone line whenever we want it. And we can record whenever we want. It doesn't cost, it's just $14.50 for everything. So it's just a little bit, logistics getting started is a little bit more complicated.
Amen to that.
So are there any announcements this week? Things that people are doing?
I'm sure everybody has on their calendar the fact that tomorrow is the early bird registration deadline for the North American Association for Environmental Education Conference. I just wanted to mention that in case it wasn't on everybody's radar screen.
Well, I'm already registered, so I
excellent.
Feel like there was a deadline. Is this Karen?
It is.
Okay, Karen.
This is Louise. I'm afraid I had to withdraw from that conference because I'm going to have to be at another conference on the same day.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it didn't work out very well.
So did Mark give everybody an update of the Clean Pathway Review Camp last week?
Yes.
Good. So we should be, we are moving along on that. We should be getting... we'll be making some decisions in Catalonia. Hi, David.
Hello.
Brian.
Yeah, back again. Thing kicked me out for some reason.
Good. Okay, so we were just having announcements of things that are going on or deadlines that are coming up. I know probably a lot of you are aware that the GSA deadline for abstracts is today. So, if you didn't know, it is. I think we'll be having we will be having one from the Clean Pathway Project that Anna Gold is working on. Any other things? So, who's on the phone? I know that Brian Rogan and David Blockstein and Karen.
Louise Huffman.
And Louise.
Margaret Mooney.
Margaret, hi, Margaret. Hi, Laura.
Hey, hi. Is this Tamara?
Yeah. Hi. And Marion is here, too.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I'm glad I saw you guys face-to-face, finally.
Yeah, exactly. That was very nice.
So are we the only ones on the call yet?
No, we have Brian Rogan and David Blockstein and Louise Huffman and Margaret Mooney. And
oh,
you?
Hi, everybody. I actually know everybody. Amazing.
Brian, you want to say what happened at the Easter Federation meeting? And Margaret, you were there also.
Sure. Well, we hit a record. We had 207 people.
Wow.
Utterly astounding. But it was very, very good. We launched a couple new groups. We had the energy clusters underway and... an ESIP expertise, but on the educational front, Margaret, as always, put together a fantastic workshop. There were, how many, Margaret, 17 teachers, including the Stewarts? I can't remember the number.
There were 18 who got stipends, but there were more people, educators, that were
right.
In and out of the conference that didn't, you know, apply for the stipends. I mean, sometimes it was standing room only.
That does happen.
How many were there again, Margaret?
There were 18 that got stipends, but there were educators, for instance, like Jim Bray, who's head of AMS Education, who was there, who's not going to apply for a NOAA stipend. Paula Arvidsson and her husband, he's a teacher from the L.A. area. They were both there participating in the So, I mean, the room capacity was in between 20 and 25 most of the time. So.
Great.
Yep, and what else did we have? We had a climate, how was it? What was the exact title of it? Getting your science, making your science understandable, getting your climate information understandable. I can't remember the exact title, but what it was a broadcast meteorologist. Basically, it was a workshop on getting scientists to make their work understandable to the general public, and how do you really get it out there for people. Very well attended, a lot of technical work, a lot of workshops, small workshops, and very busy as always, and like I'd said, well attended. We were very happy with the way it worked. I mean, it was a little bit of happy chaos, but I think it always happens. And as the numbers go up, we're slowly but surely wiping out every single venue that can hold us.
So Brian, was this particularly for preparing for scientists to work towards making their climate information understandable for meteorologists or TV?
No, no, it could be anybody. No, it was. We had a mix of people, you know, data people, there were climate people, there were meteorology people.
Great. Who organized it?
It was through the decisions cluster, so I think Anna Prados did it.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it got a little cut short because our speaker got into probably the worst plane issues you could get involved in, and it took her 2 days to get there.
Mm.
But she got there just at the start, so we gave her an hour to get her breath, and then we started.
So just for those of you who are not familiar with the ESA Federation, there's 118 organizations, and in order to facilitate conversations across those organizations on particular themes, they form clusters or working groups. So there's a decisions cluster that Brian referred to and an energy cluster. And we are planning, and Margaret and Carol and I have been talking about, a climate change education cluster.
Wow.
There's also an education standing committee, which Margaret is the chair of right now.
Excellent.
The next ESIP meeting is in January in D.C. They're always in D.C. in the winter. And then in the summer, they move around. Next summer will be in Albuquerque,
right,
in New Mexico, and after that will be in Madison, Wisconsin. And if anyone's in the area, I highly recommend you consider checking those out if you'd like to. And then for the education group in the summers, there's always a workshop. So if anyone wanted to present, we'd love to hear about that, too. We'd like to know. We'd love to have you participate.
Yeah, I should probably do something. It's Laura.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
Is anybody going to be down here in L.A. for the Satellite Educators Conference?
I'm not coming this year.
No.
Too bad.
But ESIP also got funded, some funding to participate in the Sally Ride Climate Change Education Conference. I think it's the first, it's Halloween weekend, which is terrible, I think. But that'll be in your area. And ESIP is going to be participating in that.
Oh, right. Plus, Laura, if you didn't know, Satellite Educators Association is a member of ESIP as of last summer.
Oh, okay. Great.
So we can actually make, when the ESIP Federation meetings are coming up, we can actually make it, make that information known, because we do try to have, I wasn't able to go this time, but in January we had the Climate Literacy Network actually formulated a series of 6 breakout sessions around climate change education. So we can continue to contribute in that way. The December meeting is, the January meeting is always in the D.C. area to facilitate interaction with federal agencies and policymakers and such. And as Margaret said, the other one moves around so that we can sort of serve a broader community of people. Okay. Any other things people want to announce or discuss?
Well, I have just one thing that I guess I should tell people. I am teaching on... It's Laura Tenenbaum.
Hello.
I'm teaching on Tuesdays starting in September. So I'm do my best to, you know, come onto this telecon as often as possible. But if you don't hear from me, it's because I'm in class.
Okay, well, just we'll continue. You'll continue to see the emails, and if you have
exactly
questions about anything, let us know.
Exactly, I'll miss you.
Okay, well, another thing I wanted to point out is we've been working towards identifying people who want to facilitate discussions on particular topics on this call. And we won't do that every week, but maybe because we want to leave plenty of time for open discussion, but possibly every second or third week we would have a call. And on the telecon schedule where it says future talks, basically I've just tried to capture anybody who's interested in giving one. I've just tried to capture it there so that we don't forget people. So if you don't see yourself on that list, email me and Marion again. We will, and if you are interested, let us know.
Kind of outdated.
Yeah, we can take some of those off. So, actually, I just came back from giving a talk at Boston University. They have a new GK-12 program that's bringing graduate students into K-12 classrooms, and this was particularly for middle school teachers, and gave them an overview of all of the climate literacy efforts that are going on. Clean, the Climate Literacy Network, Clean Pathway Project, Clean New England, and various online resources for educational materials. So people are, things are really growing quite a bit. I don't know, Mark, are you on the phone? I thought I heard you.
Yes, I am.
Do you want to talk a little bit about our day? What's going on out there?
Sure. Some of you might be familiar with RDAY, which stands for the American Renewable Energy Day, and it's been held in Aspen for quite a number of years, and a fellow named Chip Cummings is the kind of ringleader, and it's expanded beyond just one day now. It's this year it'll be 4 days, and they have a lot of different speakers, several people from the Department of Energy, T. Boone Pickens, Ted Turner, James Cameron, and then folks that aren't directly involved with renewable energy but are more climate-focused, and I'll be on a panel to discuss a fledgling climate and energy literacy initiative that Chip and I have been developing, and it's getting to the point where we would very much like input and support or feedback. So I could send out a overview to the list shortly if anybody's interested in taking a look at what's starting to emerge. And the basic idea is that we would like to bring in some of the people in the Hollywood world and the entertainment industry that have expertise in how to popularize and mass market climate, well, you know, in this case, climate and energy literacy, and, you know, examples of what that means. So it would potentially leverage and add a lot of value to the various education projects that we're all involved with in different ways. There's, you know, a lot of unknowns in terms of how receptive the Hollywood community will be, but Chip has been cultivating these folks for quite a long time. And the goal would be to, you know, kind of in partnership with the Climate Literacy Network, to accelerate and really popularize on a whole nother level than we've been able to achieve through these little grants here and there, a much broader understanding of climate science, of the importance of moving to renewables, and helping people connect the dots in how, you know, fossil fuel energy consumption and climate and carbon cycle and so forth are all connected. So it's, I think, potentially a way that we can build on and add value to what all of us are doing with our own little individual projects. You know, if one possibility is that if there are philanthropists and foundations that are attending this RDAY this year in Aspen, some of them, you know, the Ted Turners of the world and so forth, and the Buffett family and so forth, potentially could help fund some of the projects that for instance, didn't get funded by NSF. So we'll be exploring those options as well.
Great, thank you. When is this gathering, Mark, in Aspen?
It's the 19th to the 22nd, and you can find out more about it at rday, A-R-E-D-A-Y, dot net. And then there's information about the working title is the RDAY Climate Energy Literacy Initiative, or ACELI is the acronym there. And down at the bottom of the right-hand side of the homepage is a logo for the RDAY Climate and Energy Literacy Initiative.
And that's this month?
Exactly.
So you want some feedback really quick?
Yeah.
We'll send it out. It's always better to get feedback quick anyways, because then otherwise we put it on the back burner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can see, if you click on that logo in the lower right-hand side, a description of, they're going to be giving an award away to a young woman that wrote an essay about the American dream and carbon footprints.
That's your stepdaughter, isn't it, Mark?
It is.
Congratulations.
Ah.
Yeah. I recognized the name when that popped up.
Yeah. And she's actually not going to be going to CU Boulder. She's just been accepted at the Copenhagen Business School, which is considered to be the third best international business school in the world. She'll be focusing on sustainability and business, culture, language, and that sort of thing.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
No, where I'm looking for where it is on the website.
You're at the RDAY.net website?
Oh, no, I was still on the climate literacy website.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So go to RDAY.net, RDAY.net.
Wow, I've never heard of it.
Very cool.
I mentioned it the other day.
Okay.
Yeah, they've got a lot of...
R-A-E-D-A-Y?
A-R-E.
A-R-E-D-A-Y.
Oh, right, sorry.
Find it?
Yeah.
And then lower right-hand corner, there's an icon.
I do. Thank you.
Still time to register.
Yeah.
It's not cheap, though. It costs a minor fortune to run a conference like this.
Indeed.
How many people are you expecting there?
They have something like 100 speakers, so...
Wow.
There'll be, you know, many hundreds of other folks attending.
That sounds great.
The kind of people who have the money to do it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the weekend highlights is putting wealth to work. That certainly would engage most of us in that position.
Right.
Exactly. With our deep pockets and all that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, well, during that time, I mean, some of us will be going to the International Geoscience Education Conference in South Africa, where my talk will be around climate literacy, and some of the others of us who are involved in the Clean Pathway Project or in other climate change projects will be there also.
Great.
Okay, so we will start planning to have the occasional talks probably starting in September sometime. So
I have one more question before we go. We're going
to. Sure.
It's Laura. At the meeting we had, the camp, kind of one of the last things we did was that, I guess it was a gap analysis, and I noticed, at least on my contribution to that, there was a lot of things in very narrow category, and then a lot of categories were missing things. And since I'm at the moment kind of creating, you know, not really curriculum, but, you know, educational materials, it'd be nice to kind of have a copy of what's missing so I could help fill those gaps, and I wonder if that's going to be available.
We will make that available eventually, along with the vocabularies. We just Right now, it's in the hands of Karen Kirk and Ellen Iverson at Carleton, who are going to do the analysis to basically do that, identify where there are gaps. And the vocabulary, actually, the vocabulary, sort of have to look at it from two perspectives. One is, what are the gaps in terms of the resources we have in addressing all of the climate literacy essential principles?
Exactly.
The vocabularies was developed so that we could catalog those resources. So there may be places where there's not vocabularies, but there are resources, and that's what they're trying to figure out. So it's where are there gaps in the vocabulary?
And I'm looking for the opposite thing. Where are there gaps in the resources?
Exactly. So that was the point that I was trying to make. But we will be doing that kind of analysis of the resources that we've identified so that we can provide that information to the broader community in terms of what kinds of resources we need.
So I'll just keep my fingers crossed to get lucky that the ones that I'm doing are part of the ones that aren't already.
We can provide you with the other side also. It's just that that was a first test of a vocabulary we put together. We can't say yet that it's comprehensive and will cover everything.
Right.
But it might point out where there are gaps where we have vocabularies and don't have resources.
Definitely. Definitely.
So,
we're kind of all trying to fill this huge need. There's a huge need,
well,
and we're all trying.
You'll see one of the talks that is supposed to be in September, or at least in the fall, is we from the Clean Pathway Project will provide an overview of the review process, the review criteria, and these vocabularies, because we did plan to share with everybody, but we're just going to wait until the summer is over to do that.
Great.
So we were planning to have the vocabularies in that talk also.
Yeah, that would be good.
Great.
That'd be helpful.
And Laura, maybe we can talk offline about this, but I think there's certainly some gaps around the energy balance and the carbon cycle and so forth.
The
NASA data would be really appropriate to help fill. And like I say, maybe we should talk about that offline.
Okay, we can talk as soon as we're done if you want.
Okay, sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay, is there anything else?
Tamara, I haven't been on the last couple calls, but I'm wondering if there's been any discussion. I'm sure there's been some informal exchanges on where people are with the NSF partnership proposals. Do we know ones that are...
We do know the ones that mine was not funded. Mark's at University of Colorado Boulder was not funded. I don't know. Anybody else on the phone got one funded?
Well, I happen to know that UW-Madison was not funded.
The only one out of the 10 that we were involved with that was funded was the Columbia University proposal on related to Arctic information that Stephanie Furman was the PI on. And I heard from Karen Oates at NSF, who's actually now left NSF as of Friday, that the Office of Polar Programs put in some additional money into the partnership, and so there may be as many as three polar-oriented partnerships, and the announcements, the awards, should all be done by the 16th of August, so next Monday. And at that point, they'll presumably be releasing the list. But it is very interesting that out of the ones that we're connected with and that are most involved in the Climate Literacy Network, that almost none of them got funded. So I wonder who they got to do the
reviews. It'll be interesting to see who got
funded. Proposals.
Yeah.
I said, well, they did. In the letter they sent, they said that we should look, we should look to partner with people that did get funded. And we haven't seen the reviews yet. They didn't have time to get the reviews out. But it would be interesting to think about whether or not they kind of figured that those of us that are kind of far along in this thinking will go ahead anyway. It may be a sense that there were a lot of very good, excellent proposals, and they just didn't have enough money, and they tried to balance themes and regions. And so, but it'll be interesting to see what the reviews are like.
Yep.
I did hear that there is one that Turk, my company, is an evaluator on, that the one that's out of Mississippi State. They got questions, and I don't know what the final outcome was all of that, and I don't know the details of their proposal, but the person that would have been PI is also on some of my other curriculum development projects on climate change, so I will be able to have conversations with her. So, but that's the only other one I've heard of.
So can I talk a little bit about the Madison, the teeny bit I know?
Sure.
Just that it was really interesting to me. I don't have a PhD, and, you know, it's a big university here, but when the announcement came out, all the activity that was generated around campus related to it. And in the end, the provost was the PI, which was a bit strange, you know, and the co-I's were kind of big names around campus. But what's kind of cool, I think, is that it seemed to me that the university kind of had to wake up a little bit. And we've started a sustainability initiative that I think was, you know, without having anyone say this specifically, it was sort of in response to, you know, they looked at the announcement and realized, wow, you know, we're kind of behind the curve as a university. No one ever said this. So I think it's cool that a lot has happened here on campus. One of the groups that I stayed involved in was on energy literacy. And we have, and Mark, I'll send this directly to you. We met several times this summer and thought, well, how could we elevate energy literacy on campus? And in the end, I actually didn't write very much of it, which was great because it's, you know, new people doing... I didn't write any of it, I mean. Couldn't go to that many of the meetings. So it's kind of fun to see what developed that didn't have, you know, my bias. But I like that UW-Madison has moved a little further, a little bit further along the continuum. And I guess the energy literacy thing, I think, was fascinating, you know, that we're trying to advance that way, too.
I saw that happen also. There was a group at the University of Connecticut that was planning to put together a proposal. They ultimately did not, but they did a tremendous amount of work about building their network and community, which they ultimately joined my effort. But they do want to continue that partnership moving forward. So I think that's a parallel positive outcome of all of these building partnership efforts for the solicitation.
It'd be fascinating if NSF could capture that, because I think they got a lot of bang for their buck just by the announcement, you know?
Yeah, I think might even suggest it to Jill.
Well, okay. If the SLE community and the people at RDA are able to round up some of the big bucks from these philanthropists who have, some of them have recommitted to spending their billions on worthy causes, you know, potentially we could go to NSF and ask if those proposals that were highly ranked but not funded could potentially be funded by other sources.
Well, we don't have to ask NSF if we're going outside of NSF to get the funding, we don't actually have to ask NSF that question. You're just asking if we can get the reviews so we know which ones were highly ranked?
Yeah, I think there is precedent for that between agencies where if NSF runs out of money, but they have proposals that have gone through the peer review process that are highly ranked, then another agency can pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that may be true for foundations.
I'm with Tamara. I'd hate to get all balled up in federal agency kind of stuff, but on the other hand, you're right, the peer review process, Mark, has value to it and would be a useful screen. So somewhere between those two dilemmas,
Yeah, I mean, there is also the question in my mind, sort of off the record, of who actually reviewed these, because I think pretty much the whole climate community was involved
right.
in the proposal.
Yeah, that had me concerned from the beginning, is that by being so connected, it seemed to me that it would be hard to find people who are actually well-versed enough to qualify to review them. And not
Thing that I do know about the reviews is that the participating directorates each had a set of proposals that they did reviews on. So, for example, some of the proposals went to the education directorate, some went to bio, some went to geo, and some went to the Office of Polar Programs.
Mm.
Okay, interesting.
So then they sent them out to independently to reviewers.
Well, they each convened their own panels. I'm not sure who sent them out, but there was so that if your proposal was assigned to one particular office or directorate, then you were reviewed along with the other proposals in that directorate. That you were not reviewed necessarily.
So I guess the question I have, though, is if my proposal was in EHR and there was a proposal in bio, could I have potentially reviewed a bio proposal?
That I don't know. I don't know how they were set up. I just know that there were separate panels in the different directorates.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting when we finally do get the reviews and see where we actually stood.
Right.
Yeah.
And you will.
Yeah.
So, and will you have the names of the people on the panel?
No.
Yes.
No. That's
only
anonymous.
It'll be anonymous. We won't even know our ranking. We'll just know what the review says.
Right.
We'll only be able to compare reviews against, you know, if we share them with each other, which people may or may not want to do. Okay. Any other comments, issues? Okay, well, then we'll plan to talk again next week.
Thanks.
Yeah,
okay.
Camera.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Nice to hear from you guys.
All right, thanks a lot.